I apologize, because this is the news, according to me. Well, I am so sorry, folks. If you listened to the last episode, the reason there's no episode this morning was because I did an entire show. And it was a good show, too. It was really, it was probably one of my best shows ever. The best show I've ever done. It ranks right up there with the top notch people who do shows. Probably better than all the other shows combined ever done on the planet. But the audio didn't come through very well. There's something wrong with... If you listen to the last show I posted, the last podcast I posted, the sound quality is terrible. And I normally check them before I send them out. I did not. I listened to the information from the DAO before I offloaded it, before I bounced it out, and it was fine on my DAO. I have never had an export problem like that. Never. I do audio files all day long. I have never had one, and it was two in a row, because the show yesterday that I posted, when I got done with the show this morning, I just happened to listen to it as it was exported. And it sounded terrible. And I don't understand why. Now, I have gone back through, and I may be posting that show again. If I can get, because it sounded okay in the DAO. Now, I was able to play around with the settings this morning and got it. I was at my home studio. I'm back at the main, the main studio here now. And I can probably, hopefully this show will be fine. It's kind of late for a show, actually. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday evening, March 18th, 5 o'clock Eastern time. But I'm going to try to put a little show out, at least a little bit of one. And I might post the other show if I can figure out how to offload that. It would be such a waste to think that show was done, and it was such a good show. Oh man, it was just—it was the best show ever. So I'm sipping on—I got a couple things going on here. I got some hot tea, some hot peach tea, and I've also got some. It's not quite as hot as it was. I've been working pretty hard today, and it was an earlier tea drink thing. And then I've got this other sweet tea over here that. It's okay. I got it at the store. It's not that great. I didn't make that from home. Now I'm gonna be on the road again for a few days. I gotta be on the road again. Actually, Willie Nelson
on the road again.
So we got I got that going on for the next two days. It'll be Friday and Monday. You'll be hearing from me from a hotel room. Probably not my car. I wouldn't think. Probably just the hotel room. And actually, tomorrow morning, you might hear from me from the car, believe it or not. I may not be in the hotel yet. I may just stop off somewhere and do the show in the car. Because I got about a three-hour drive tomorrow. And someday, I'm going to tell you what all this driving is about, what all this driving and flying and traveling is all about. But I'm going to keep you in suspense for a while, because that's just kind of the way it is. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm kind of wound up on sugar right now, because I'm... You can probably tell. If you listen to any of my former episodes, you'd know that I don't talk very fast. I don't talk that fast, but I'm talking fast now, and I'm fully aware of it. I'm fully aware of the fact that I'm talking very fast. So I don't know why that is. So I'm going to take a moment. Now it's all better. Everything's much better after my moment to calm down and relax. So, we have a lot of things going on in the world. Now, the thing, I covered a lot of ground this morning. Man, I went through a lot of different stuff. Just a lot of things in the news. I'll just touch on some points again. First off, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm just going to start naming things off. If you would... keep an eye on what's going on in Iowa, the congressional House seat. It was won by, I can't remember the names of people, so I'm not going to try to butcher everybody's names. There was two women running against each other. And one was a Democrat, one was a Republican, believe it or not. Funny how that worked out. The Republican won by 6 votes, certified the election. They had a recount, re-canvass the whole thing. And of course, it went to the Congress. Congress accepted it. They sworn her. She was sworn in on the 3rd, January 3rd, as she was supposed to be. They went through all the processes. And now, guess what's happening? The Democrats don't like it. So Nancy Pelosi is leading the charge to go after her seat. They are going to themselves, the Congress, and they have the power to do this, by the way. Don't let them tell you otherwise, because obviously they do have the power to do this, and they are doing it. They are going to go through and hand count a committee, a congressional committee, not a state Congress. The U.S. Congress is going to hand count. They're going to have a committee that will hand count every ballot. And I guarantee you they're going to come up with more numbers for the Democrat. Funny how that's going to work out when you got Democrats counting votes. Because it's not the people who count. It's not the people who vote who count. It's the people who count the votes. This is a very real thing here, folks. This is a House of Representatives seat being stolen by the federal Congress. After we just got chastised up and down for the last six, however many months it's been since November. I don't know. I can't do math. 3 months, whatever. Five months, 10 months. Oh, it seems like it's been years ago. That we were not supposed to question the results of the election, that the election was certified, that it was a done deal. Nothing to see here. Move along. And if you say otherwise, you're an insurrectionist and you're an enemy to the democracy of this country. They're going to go after this thing. And what do you think? They're going to come up with 50 more votes for the Republican? No, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. I guarantee you. It is a very real thing, and there is a huge risk of her losing that seat. You talk about disenfranchising voters here. If they get away with this, yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I best not say any more. It is, again, just to reinforce what I say about the end justifying the means. These people have no principles. They have only one motivating rule, and they don't even realize it. They cannot see past their own grand self-righteous virtue to realize that they have this issue of double standards and hypocrisy. You can't point it out to them because it doesn't matter to them. It's as long as they get their way. Harry Reid comes out and says, word has it, Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes in 12 years. When he was called on the carpet for it later on, about a year later, you came out on the Senate floor and said that Mitt Romney hadn't paid his taxes. Well, he didn't win the election. That's all you need to hear right there. That's the end justifying the means. The lie from a fellow Mormon of no less, because Harry Reid was a Mormon, and so is Mitt Romney. They're same faith, and one throws the other one under the bus with a lie, and then smirks about it and says, "Well, you know, we won the election." As if that helped. I don't know if it did or not. I don't think it did. But that's the length that they will go to, thinking that it will help the election. And then when they do lose an election, and it's certified, and everything's been counted and canvassed and done, you didn't see them going down to Georgia and counting the votes down there, getting all upset about it. I guarantee if the Democrats would have won, if the Democrat would have won in Iowa, you wouldn't see him going down there and say, oh, this is too close of a margin. We're going to have to go after this. We got to get to the bottom of this. This just can't be right. And here's the thing. The Republicans are going to sit on their hands, not say a word, not do anything about it. And of course, what can they do? They don't have power right now, which is the position they love to be in.
Well, we can't do anything because we don't have any power right now.
This whole scorched earth thing that McConnell's talking about in the Senate, for instance. Yeah, that ain't gonna fly. He's not gonna do that. This is all threats and saber rattling. And even if he could do something, I played this thing this morning, and maybe I can play it again now. Let me see if I can get my phone Bluetoothed onto the network here. I'll get you plugged in, and we'll hear this little thing from Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin a while back was talking about the filibuster, and he was defending it, saying we have to have the founders. You know, they put this filibuster in place, and it'd be a very different country if we didn't have the filibuster. It'd be an end to the Senate if we didn't have the filibuster. So we're going to try this. Oh, it looks like it actually connected. I'm kind of surprised. It actually worked. So I'm going to try this. Hopefully this audio will be fine. I'm going to pull this up here, and we're going to see what Mr. Durbin has to say. Where'd it go? It was just here. I know it was here somewhere. That's not it. I think this must be it.
What about that nuclear option doing away with the filibuster?
Well, I can tell you that would be the end of the Senate as it was originally devised.
There he is, talking
created,
to Stephanopoulos.
To our founding fathers.
Today's filibuster throws the system out of balance, giving one half of one branch of government what amounts to veto over the rest of government. It promotes gridlock, not good governance.
So all of a sudden, Dick Durbin doesn't like the filibuster. Before it was it was the end of the Senate. It was the end of the world. If we get rid of the filibuster, it's the end of the world. And now, a couple days later, practically, all of a sudden, we don't need the filibuster. It's a terrible thing. You know, it's an old, archaic thing. We just wouldn't need to get rid of it. Now, for those of you who don't understand what's going on here, this is the Senate needs a 60-vote to pass anything other than reconciliation for budget matters. There's a few. It used to be that there was. They've taken away two of the three things that needed to have a 60 majority vote. A 60, whatever, supermajority. What they call a supermajority now. Instead of just the simple majority, 50-50, 51 out of 49, whatever, or 51 out of 50. Because Kamala, she gets to vote. She gets to put the tie-breaking vote in there because she presides over the Senate. I have a hard time seeing her preside over anything, frankly. She's like a 9-year-old girl who just laughs at everything and repeats herself all the time. Yeah. So she's just sitting around waiting for her chance to move into that position because she deserves it, you know. She's going to be hailed as the ultimate. The only thing she's not that we know of is she's not trans. That's the only thing she's missing. Somehow that's a great achievement. I guess there's one actor that, an entertainer, who was born a female and has had, she's now transitioned over to be a male, she thinks. I don't know how she knows what a male feels like. When I look at this person, I do not see a man. But she supposedly is a man now, because she feels like a man. How do you know what a man feels like? The worst part of it is, and she's going to have a rude awakening here, because I guess she thinks she's part of the crowd, the woke crowd, because she's trans now. But you trans the wrong way, lady. You just walked into She's now a white male. The most discriminated against individual on the planet. At least in this country. And I'm going to talk about that. There's this thing called the... I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here. This is the equal rights thing that's coming out. The equality rights thing. There's a bill now, equality thing. It's special rights for LGBTQ, S, and there's no S, actually. LGBTQI, AB, something. And they will not put an S in that list of alphabet soup number letters there, because that would stand for straight. They're not a part of this party. They weren't invited. There is a strategy, and I see it. I have not read this anywhere. I have not seen it anywhere in any kind of, you know, institutionalized documents of any kind. But it is definitely a strategy that is unfolding, whether anybody's consciously doing it or not. This is what's happening. There are people getting not equal rights, special rights. See, because our Constitution already gives us equal rights as individuals. It's a matter of enforcing it that we seem to have an issue with. So, all of a sudden, these groups of individuals are getting special protected status. Special rights, we would call that. So instead of having any special rights as an individual, as whatever, they found a way around this whole thing. They're just gonna give everybody they like special rights to protect them from the people they don't want to have rights. And pretty soon, the only people left that have normal rights, the regular constitutional rights, won't matter. We're the only unprotected class in the whole thing. I think you know where I'm going with this. So they found a way to do this. And or at least the way it's happening, the way it's unfolding. Everybody gets special rights except for certain people. Now, there's one group they won't get special rights, ever. Even if they become a minority, they will never get special rights. That ain't going to happen. That's how it's unfolding here. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this pans out in the next little while. So there's that. I wasn't even going to go there, and I just decided to go there because, you know, might as well. Why not? Now, the Atlanta shooting was right away. It was being, they were chomping at the bit, hoping, you know, all the newscasters and the reporters and the interviewers, they were all asking if this was a hate crime. Because it was an Asian-related, I guess there was, it's a bunch of massage parlors. I didn't realize it was legal in Atlanta to do this kind of activity. And apparently it's not, but I guess they're just getting away with it. I don't know. This guy had some kind of he was, as what happens with a lot of addiction issues, people feel bad about themselves after they, you know, do something, after the fact. And, so they go into this deep kind of, they can have some pretty severe mood swings. And the guilt comes in. And I think that he was fighting that off. And apparently he thought that the best way to do this, obviously the man's mentally ill, he decided the best way to do that was to destroy the things that were tempting him. So he went after that. Had nothing to do with whether they were Asian or not. He was getting ready to go to Florida to do some more cleansing on his own behalf. And his parents happened to see, and good for them, that they had the fortitude. That's got to be heart-wrenching to see your child on a video, recognize he's committed a crime, and turn him in. Yeah, keep them in your prayers, because that family is going through a lot, and so are the families who were the victims It's just the whole thing is just it's such a tragedy. So the point of this is that the media and people were trying to, because there's this big push about Asian, you know, crimes against Asian. I guess you can call them Asian, Eastern Asian. I don't know what I'm supposed to call anybody anymore. And I guess there's a spike in that kind of thing right now. I don't understand why that's happening under such a president, because I thought we got rid of Orange Man Bad and all the racism and the white supremacy. Well, I take that back, because actually what's happening is what they're not telling you in statistics on this whole thing is that it's not European white individuals that are increasing rates of crimes against Asians. All I'm going to say is it's not European Caucasians. So I'll let you fill in the blanks on who it is that is increasing the level of crime against Asians in this country. You won't hear that. You also won't hear what happened to an elderly man who was disabled in his home or his residence. All I heard on the radio yesterday was that two teenagers, got into a home where this man lived and lit him on fire. He burned to death. When I initially heard this report, I thought I misunderstood it. I thought that it sounded like they possibly lit a fire. In my mind, I couldn't understand lighting a person on fire. I thought maybe they lit a fire in the home. Whether they realized he was there or not was unclear. Maybe they just lit the fire, maybe they're just playing, kids playing with fire, burned the place down, and he was in the place. That's not what happened. They lit him on fire. They weren't intending to burn the house down necessarily. They wanted to burn him. And the news media would not report the full story. And the full story was, it was just two teenagers. But they were not white supremacists. And they were not European Caucasian kids. I'm not saying it matters, because it's deplorable. And I wonder where we come as a society. How do we get to this point? And this took years to get here. Now, not that this kind of thing has never happened before. There have been societies throughout time, and even in our own country, where people have done egregious things to other people. Humans do terrible things to other humans. If you look back at there was a time when a particular denomination in Europe had the rule and the reign over the people. And that's why we have what's called separation of church and state now. It's that the government can make no law concerning religion. And religion cannot rule our government. We don't have an official denomination. However, our nation was built on the idea of self-governance, which requires, and all of the founders acknowledge that it requires people of moral standards to be able to do this. If they lose that, we lose the country. The church persecuted individuals during the Dark Ages. They had a tremendous number of people were killed. For things such as printing Bibles, printing information that was contrary to what the church's teachings were, printing Bibles in other languages so people could actually understand them, to understand what the scripture said. They were killed for that. If you went against the church, if you said that babies cannot be baptized because there needs to be consent, christening was for the radicals in the day, the Anabaptist movement, for instance, was that children cannot be baptized. My dog's pretty upset about it. And for saying such a thing, for believing such a thing, and going against the church's doctrine and teaching, men had their tongues pulled out with hot tongs, seared out of their mouths. They caught you preaching something contrary to the church. There was an individual who was had the printing press, was printing Bibles. There was one individual who had a printing press who was printing Bibles, and guess what happened to him? They put him in the press and squashed him to death. So there's, and I could go on, and this is scratching the surface of what people can do to people, especially in the name of religion. It's hideous. When this idea of self-righteous virtue end justifies the means comes to full fruition, it becomes extremely evil. And those who are ignorant of history are doomed to repeat it, of course. And that's where we've gotten at this point. We're starting to erase history because it's a bad thing. Oh, we can't have that. And we'll be reminded of that. Those things were racist. We got to take those statues down. Those statues are not places of worship. Those are statues of people that, for whatever reason. I don't. Of course, Nancy Pelosi. Well, I don't care too much about statues. I don't care so much about statues. People are going to do what they're going to do. Yeah, that's what she said when they busted into the Capitol, the Temple of Democracy, the statue that she works in. She was all upset about that. I don't know that she was actually upset. I think she was acting like she was upset. I don't really think she cares. I really don't think she cares. I'm convinced that the left does not care anything about this country at all. They want to see this country. They don't want to see it changed. They want to see a whole different thing. That's the Democrat Party, as I've said before, is not a party that is going to use the Constitution. They don't like the Constitution. They want to change it. They think it's a living document that can be changed. It is a document that says what it says, and it's timeless.
Well, it's your opinion.
Yeah, it is. And I have a right to it. And people swear an oath to uphold and defend it. And these people are called the Oath Keepers. And yet, they are being vilified as well. Go to the Oath Keepers website. Go to the Proud Boys website. I don't really know that much about the Proud Boys, but I do know that they're not a white supremacist group. They're being vilified as one in the media. The Oath Keepers are now, they're a terrible group. Oh, the Oath Keepers. If you understand what the Oath Keepers are about, what it is there's a lot of people in the military, a lot of people in law enforcement, and even some first responders and people anybody in serving in government who takes an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They are basically, they're joining this organization to say, I'm going to hold myself accountable to these individuals to uphold that oath that I swore to uphold. Because politicians now, they take this oath and they don't care. It's just something they do on a special day. It's like, oh, I'm standing up here taking this oath to defend the Constitution. And as soon as I get done here, I'm going to go out there and figure out a way to tear it to shreds. Constitutionally, of course. Using the democratic process, because they were elected by the people. So the people have spoken. So now they're going to go out there. No, you were elected to defend our rights. Not to defend your opinions or the opinions of the majority. Believe it or not, just because the majority of people believe something or want something does not mean they should get it. That's democracy. Because if 60% of the people, or if 90% of the people decide that, well, we think that that person should have their life taken away. Anybody over there that believes this or does that or looks like that or says this, whatever that is they say, they should be taken from society, locked up, their liberties should be taken away from them, and they should be flogged and then killed. If the majority of people want that, they don't get that. They do in a democracy. If everybody just votes on it, that's a democracy. A republic stands to defend the individual. In a constitutional republic, representative republic, every individual has rights that cannot be taken away without due process. And Congress is not due process. And yet they think they are. They don't have a right to take away your rights. They don't have the ability. They shouldn't have the ability to take away your rights. State governments think they have the right to take away your rights. They think they have the right to take away your right to carry a gun, for instance. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed by anyone. Keep means to own. Bear means to carry. Infringed means to be restricted or hindered in any way. You can't take that right away from me and then sell it back to me in the form of a permit. Or to somehow think that you're going to put in your constitution, we're going to vote on a law now that says you're going to be a constitutional carry state. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Like I needed you to tell me that. In other words, what you're saying is, we're going to be a constitutional abiding state. That's what we should have been to begin with. All you're doing is acknowledging the fact that you think you have the power to take that away from me, but you don't. Oh, but you do. I mean, you do take it away from me, but you don't have the power to do so, however you do it. Regardless. Well, there has to be some restrictions because people had muskets back then and they don't now. No, that's not what it's about. It's about you being able to defend yourself. And really, it goes further than that. And we're beyond that point now where nobody's going to do this anymore, but it really was. And if you read the letters that were being passed around, the quotes that people were making at the founding of the nation, they were very clear that the people should cast off a government that's doing what it's doing right now. They would be leading the charge, folks. I kid you not. They understood what individual liberties were, and they know they're being taken away. They would know. They would understand what that's all about. You were sovereign in your property. We are not sovereign anymore. But I digress. The time has gotten away from me today, and I really wanted to have a much longer show, but it's just not going to be possible. Again, an open letter to Governor Abbott. Gab is not an anti-Semite platform, anti-Semitic platform. Just if anybody happens to write a letter to Governor Abbott, please let him know that Gab is an open platform that believes in free speech. And they are not anti-Semitic. He says there's no place for gab in Texas. He's been misinformed. I like the governor. I think he's done a good job, especially like their attorney general. But he's wrong on this one. He's been misinformed by somebody. The border is a mess right now. You know, Texas is taking the brunt of a lot of it, and that there's a reason for that. But we'll get into that later. And let me just say this too. Now, nobody's talking about this yet. There's trickling. You know, some people are trickling talking about this. You haven't heard about it officially yet. But I guarantee you, once all this stuff that they're mushing through Congress right now, the thing that's going to make that's going to open up here as they get some of these things passed, the dust storm that is there right now with all the different legislation that's coming through, is going to be amnesty. Everybody knows it's coming, especially those south of the border. They're being told that's why they're coming up here. That's why there's almost 10,000 of them in the detention camps down there right now. The highest number we saw under the Trump administration was about 2,000, a little over 2,000, 2,200, something like that. There's over 9,000, well over 9,000 down there now that we know about, because they're not allowing lawyers in. They're not allowing the press in, and the press doesn't really, they don't want to go in, because at least most of the press, their press, the left-wing press, they don't want to tell the story. Now it's been estimated, I just saw an estimation today, they were talking about how many of them have COVID. Now they're saying probably about half of them, 50% of them probably have COVID. But you need to wear 3 masks and stay inside and not go out and do anything, because by golly, you're going to kill everybody. But they can come on in. Because, yeah, they can come on in. No problem. Bring it on in, because we're serious about this. Yeah. Things are heating up a little bit in Michigan. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow, the next day maybe. Michigan, the investigation is going on the Secretary of State. She's under some trouble because she was, she changed the rules for the absentee ballots. And now they're finding out that she broke the law. Now, my question is, of course, they're making a big, oh, she broke the law by telling them that they should do this or that or whatever it was with the absentee ballots, change the way they operated with them and accepted them. Big whoop-de-doo. What are you going to do about it? Do you really think we're going to see the Secretary of State in Michigan? Do you really think she's going to be in prison? You think that's going to happen? You think she's going to be fired by the governor? And of course, the governor's got her own little issues going on there, because, well, there's an issue of this that has to do with the whole COVID scandal in Michigan, and she had this one guy left. I think he was the head of the health department, the Michigan Health Department, and he left. He resigned, and he was given $150,000. No, it's a standard separation package. That's what she said. It's the standard in any business that when they have a separation package that somebody gets. This guy, if you look at everything that was going on with this guy and everything that happened within in the whole context of everything that was going on there, he was paid off to be quiet. He also signed a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA. I don't know how long it's for. Could be 10 or 20 years. I don't know. It could be forever. He's not allowed to talk about anything. He knows a lot of stuff. He's not allowed to talk about it to the public. The people he worked for, the people he's supposed to be accountable to, he can't say anything to them because he was paid off. No insider information there. What is going on there? Fill in the blanks, folks. It's a crazy day. So, again, I apologize for the problem with the sound on the other episode, and the fact that I didn't get one put out this morning because it was all messed up. I've covered most of those issues, and we'll We'll go over some of those things. Oh, I just, it was such a good show. You really missed out. I'm so sorry. There was one interesting thing. There was some documents found. This is kind of a good thing in a cave, I guess. I think it was south of Jerusalem. It's basically I think it's part of the Torah. I guess they have the actual documents from the Torah, and there's several thousand years old, I think. And I don't know. They're old. And they kind of verify the fact that some of the historical issues of the area. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like God is reminding us that, yeah, this was real. This was history. This wasn't just a fairy tale. It's kind of cool. So I leave you with that for this Thursday afternoon. And pray for our nation. Pray for each other. We need to continue to move forward. Have faith that God knows what's going on. He's leading the way. And he's not going to abandon us in the middle of all this. So we trust in him. And we will continue to do so. So once again, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, sharing. It really helps out if you share this podcast with others. And I appreciate the fact that the people who listen, I really appreciate the fact that you listen to this podcast and that you take the time to hear my opinions. If you want to, you can take the time to call in or text into the show. If you got a question or a comment or just want to make a silly remark. 574-742-6748. Feel free to do that. Send me a message. Send me a line. We'll all enjoy it together. Once again, thank you, and have a great night, a great weekend. And I will try to do my best to have better sound quality in the future. So that's all I got to say. God bless everybody. Have a good night.